This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, April 24th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
centrist Emmanuel Macron and far-right nationalist Marine Le Pen win the first round of the French presidential election.
The euro, global equities, and treasury yields surge following the results, while Haven assets slump.
Stocks in China buck the trend, continuing a sell-off that sees shares drop the most in 3 months.
South Korea and its allies are bracing for the possibility that North Korea may carry out its sixth nuclear test. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another loss for the Mets, swept by the Nationals. Yankees lost in Pittsburgh. The Rangers' second-round opponent will be Ottawa.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Well, in France, the Republican and Social presidential candidates have been eliminated in the first round of voting yesterday. For the details, we bring in Bloomberg Europe anchor Marcus Carlson, who joins us live from Paris. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, Karen. Yes, one of the main takeaways from this election is the fact that the pollsters got the result right. The figures that have emerged are in line with what was predicted before the first voting round. Independent candidate Emmanuel Macron getting just under 24% of yesterday's vote, and National Front leader Marine Le Pen at 21.5%. And that puts them ahead of the third and fourth placed candidates, which means that they will be facing off with each other in the second runoff round on the 7th of May. This represents a fundamental change for France and for French politics. For the past five decades, the French presidency has been held either by the Socialist Party or the centre-right. This time around, neither of them made it into the second round.
Now, Marcus, you mentioned the runoff election on May 7th. What's the outlook for that?
Well, Marine Le Pen is certainly facing a more difficult task to make up the electoral maths here. And Emmanuel Macron is clearly the man to beat. Several of the now defeated candidates have already come out to back Macron in the second round. That includes the Republican Party candidate François Fillon, who said that Marine Le Pen becoming president would be dangerous for France and dangerous for Europe. A snap poll released by Ipsos last night suggests that Macron would take 62% of the vote in the second round, compared with 38%. For Le Pen. That's also in line with polls taken before the first voting round, and a reversal of those figures would be nothing short of astounding.
All right, Bloomberg Europe anchor Marcus Carlson joining us live from Paris. Thanks, Marcus.
And investors seem to like what they've seen from the first round of voting, with markets appearing to price in a win for Emmanuel Macron on May 7th. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Anna Edwards live from our London bureau with the latest. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning to you, Bob and Karen. Investors, yes, are back in risk-taking mode, it seems, this morning. The euro jumped and French stocks are surging. The CAC 40 currently up by 4.3%. Money is flowing out of perceived havens like the yen and gold, and European stock volatility has fallen the most since 2005. Diving into the stock market reaction, the banking sector is the biggest gaining group on the stock 600, trading higher by more than 4% right now. SocGen, Crédit Agricole, BNP, all of these French banks up by more than 8% in this morning's trading session. But it's not just French banks that are getting a boost. The fact that the second round will not be a runoff between two anti-euro candidates has been a real boost for the whole banking sector. UniCredit, Commerzbank, ING and Deutsche Bank among some of the gainers, putting on more than 6% in this morning's session. French construction stocks also up strongly. In currency markets, the euro soared as much as 2% against the dollar in Asian trade, but has pared some of those gains and now trades up by 1.2%. The yen is down 0.9% against the dollar. Another haven, gold, is down by around 1%. In bond markets, the spread between French and German yields has narrowed as the yield on the French 10-year has dropped more than 9 basis points this morning. Anna Edwards, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
All right, thanks, Anna. The relief rally first began in Asia today, with equities in most regions gaining after the results in France. But China is bucking that trend. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The MSCI Asia Pacific Index rose to a three-week high with financial stocks leading the gains, but Chinese shares continued their sell-off amid bids to crack down on leveraged trading. The Shanghai Composite closed lower by 1.37% to hold at January lows, while industrial and material stocks were among the biggest decliners on the CSI 300 Index, which finished the session at its lowest level since mid-March. The Chinex Small Cap Index, seen as a barometer for Chinese stock market sentiment, closed at the lowest level since September 2015. Elsewhere, though, buyers were willing to snap up equities. A weaker yen pushed the Nikkei 225 higher by 1.5% in Tokyo. In Hong Kong, stocks also rallied the Hang Seng, supported by banks and industrial players. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Juliet, thank you. Yesterday's results in France could help the European Central Bank exit quantitative easing quicker than previously expected. Bloomberg's Sandra Kilhoff explains.
ECB President Mario Draghi may be willing to take a faster route to monetary policy normalization after today's gains for the euro. While no changes to interest rates or asset purchases are expected at Thursday's meeting, most respondents in a Bloomberg survey say Draghi could revise forward guidance as early as June. That's 6 months sooner than in an earlier poll. Economists are also moving up the date of their projections for a rate hike. Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Sandra. In M&A news this morning, two of the world's biggest healthcare suppliers are set to combine. Bloomberg's John Tucker is here live with that story. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Karen. Worth $24 billion, Becton Dickinson agreeing to buy C.R. Bard in what would be the second biggest healthcare deal this year. The New Jersey-based companies would create a powerhouse that can offer customers everything from syringes to infection-preventive technology. Becton Dickinson agreeing to pay $3.17 a share for Bard in cash. In stock, a 25% premium. Bob and Karen.
John Tucker, thank you. We are watching the 10-year Treasury this morning. It is dropping down 15/32. The yield, 2.30%. The yield on the 2-year this morning, 1.24%. 30-year yield at 2.95%. The euro this morning at $1.0858. It's up 1.2% against the dollar. The yen is at 110.10. COMEX gold is lower, down 1.3%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:07 on Wall Street. Once again, that closely watched election in France. The recap and more from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. A new Snap poll shows French presidential candidate Emmanuel Macron would defeat Marine Le Pen in the second round of elections. The Ipsos poll for France television shows centrist Macron would take 62% of the vote compared to 38% for the far-right Le Pen. Yesterday, Macron and Le Pen advanced to the runoff election in 2 weeks. Historically absent in the runoff election are mainstream candidates from either the left socialists or right-wing Republicans. There were renewed provocations from North Korea over the weekend. Officials say an American citizen was detained in Pyongyang. Yesterday, the North said it is capable of sinking the USS Carl Vinson with a single strike. Former U.N. Ambassador Bill Richardson tells us that the regime in Pyongyang has been known to behave like this before, and he thinks the White House needs to consider its next move carefully.
The danger of preemptive military strike is a miscalculation. You'll cause a tinderbox explosion of some kind. There are 25 million residents of Seoul.
South Korea and its allies are bracing for the possibility that North Korea may carry out its sixth nuclear test. German Chancellor Angela Merkel says a free trade deal between the EU and the U.S. is still likely, despite President Trump's protectionist stance. Bloomberg's Patrick Donahue has the story from Hanover.
Chancellor Angela Merkel said she is encouraged over the prospects of a U.S. trade agreement with the EU after her visit to the White House last month. Merkel said a transatlantic accord that most had thought dead could well be considered. Even though Donald Trump has moved to jettison multilateral trade deals such as TTIP, Merkel has pushed hard to convince the president that the EU is a bilateral partner. Patrick Donahue, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, Hanover.
Denmark says Russian hackers have attacked its foreign office and defense ministry repeatedly over the last 2 years. Bloomberg's Peter Levering has more from Copenhagen.
APT-28, also named Fancy Bear, is believed to have hacked the U.S. Democratic Party service during the American presidential campaign earlier, as well as a French TV station in 2015. The Danish Defense Minister Claus Hjort Frederiksen said that the group is linked to the Russian intelligence community as well as the higher echelons of Russia's government. Peter Levering, Bloomberg News, Copenhagen.
Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. And with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates, good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. You'd have to think if the Mets had to do it all over again, they would have tried harder to re-sign Daniel Murphy, the star of the 2015 postseason run to the World Series. Murphy got a better offer from the Mets' chief foe in the NL East, the Nationals, where last season he hit .329. Last night back at Citi Field, he did in his old team.
Base is loaded, one out. Wheeler kicks and delivers. Murphy swings and belts it a deep right center field. This ball is way back. Granderson to the wall. Lagares to the wall. And it is gone. Goodbye. It is a grand slam for Daniel Murphy. And the Nationals are on the board with a four spot at the top of the first inning.
WJFK, they go on to complete the sweep. 6-4 beating Zach Wheeler. That's seven straight wins for Washington and six losses in the last seven games for the Mets, who are off tonight, as are the Yankees, who in the ninth inning in Pittsburgh loaded the bases with one out but couldn't get anyone home. Joe Girardi after a 2-1 loss to the Pirates.
I mean, we had a chance. We had a chance in the eighth, too. Eighth and the ninth. We just weren't able to get the big hit when we needed to, so... You know, this group keeps fighting, and that's a really good sign. You know, you give yourself opportunities, and you're going to win some of those games, and those, you know, those are important games to win, the ones when you come back late.
Ex-Yankee Von Nova beat rookie Jordan Montgomery. Yanks in Boston tomorrow. Giants lost to Colorado 8-0. A's fell to Seattle 11-1. Stanley Cup playoffs, Ottawa won 3-2 at Boston, won that series 4-2. So the Rangers now getting ready to head to Ottawa, game one of the second round on Thursday. Last night, fifth time in six games, the Washington and Toronto went to overtime. Caps won 2-1, won the series 4-2. They'll now face Pittsburgh. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. A forward look at the markets now. S&P futures up 26 points. That is better than 1%. Dow futures higher by 191 points. NASDAQ futures up by 57 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better.
Tom. Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer, RIA, that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more. Investors are swinging back to risk-taking mode on bets that pro-growth centrist Emmanuel Macron will become France's next president. Chinese shares buck that trend, resuming a sell-off. Meanwhile, U.S. stock index futures are jumping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 188, NASDAQ futures up 56. The DAX in Germany is up 2.8%, CAC in Paris up 4.3%, FTSE 100 up 1.9%, 10-year Treasury down 15 30 seconds, the yield 2.30%, yield on the two-year 1.24%, NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 50 cents to $50.12 a barrel, COMEX gold down 1.3% or $16.40 to $12.72.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.0863, the yen, 110.07, and a dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include Halliburton. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. A new Snap poll by Ipsos for France television show centrist Emmanuel Macron would defeat far-right Marine Le Pen in the next round of the French presidential election, 62% to 38%. Macron and Le Pen advance to the second round. South Korea and its allies are bracing for the possibility that North Korea may carry out its sixth nuclear test. U.S. satellite images indicate increased activity around North Korea's nuclear test site. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has made a surprise visit to Afghanistan. Mattis is in Kabul to assess war needs, including weighing sending in more U.S. troops. In sports and baseball, the Mets lost to the Nationals 6-3. The Yankees lost along with the Giants. The Red Sox won. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics even their series at two games apiece after beating the Bulls Sunday. The Bruins were eliminated from the NHL playoffs after losing to the Senators. The Capitals advanced after eliminating the Maple Leafs. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. Our guest this hour is Klaus Vestesen, Chief Eurozone Economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics, joining us on our phone line sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. Well, let's see. What should we talk about this morning? Oh, yes, the French presidential election. Klaus Vestesen, welcome and good morning. Are you, as the markets appear to be, reassured by the results of round one in France? If so, or if not, why?
Well, I have to be reassured in the sense that, first of all, the polls were correct. And the polls were predicting that Macron and Le Pen would go through, and actually the polls were predicting that Le Pen would win. But it seems that Macron then surprised to the upside, so we have to be reassured by that. And then we have to be reassured by the fact that the polls have been consistently showing that in a runoff, Macron would comfortably beat Le Pen. So you really have to, it's really difficult to second guess the information we have now, which is obviously why the market is acting the way it is. I mean, I will say, though, that, you know, the market is trading as if Macron has already won, which is clearly not the case. So what we usually see with these kind of events is that right now the market is cheering, and I think that there will be inevitably that some kind of scare or disappointment in the next 2 weeks as we move closer to this second round, because after all, it is quite extraordinary that Le Pen is in the second round, and you know she has a shot, she has a chance, right? It's a low chance, but she has a chance.
So for now, risk is back on. It looks like in a big way. Look at the CAC 40 this morning, up 4.25% right now. Is this euphoria, or do the economic fundamentals support this?
Well, first of all, the economic fundamentals do support Eurozone equities going higher, but we also have to remember that Eurozone equities are up almost 30% since the second half of last year. So it's not as if Eurozone equities have been sort of in the doldrums and it's suddenly now that they've woken up. There's a sub story here, which is the financial. If you look at the French financial this morning, there are, some of them are up 10%, and other bank equities in the rest of the Eurozone are also up quite strongly. And that's really the key story for me with Eurozone equities, because if I look at Eurozone equities as a whole, they're not really, for me, that cheap. But if the financials start to get going, this is to say, if this political uncertainty gets wiped away from the markets, you know, from the market's outlook, and financials really start to come up here, you know, that is really a strong tailwind for the Eurozone index.
This morning, the euro has jumped up by 1.33% to $1.0869. Does this help the European Central Bank grease the skids on exiting quantitative easing?
At the margin, yes, it does. I think this week, though, Draghi will try to roll back a little bit on this euphoria, which we're seeing at the moment. I think, you know, we still don't know. The ECB is still on what we could call a very, very, very slow glide path towards normalization. But I will say, though, that, you know, going to sort of trying to answer your question more directly, is that one of the main risks, as it were, with a Macron victory, this is to say, with the reduction of political uncertainty, is exactly this idea that suddenly bond markets in the Eurozone are going to start to discount that the ECB will exit monetary stimulus quicker than we would have otherwise expected. And then suddenly we're starting to look at some markets in the Eurozone which look really, really out of whack. You have two-year yields in Germany. You have interest rate futures in the Eurozone which could move a lot, and bond yields, not to mention credit market, which have also been very much supported by the ECB. So there's sort of a little bit, you know, be careful for what you wish for here. But for now, you know, this is one of those cases where, you know, you don't get in front of this, because then, you know, you're just going to get steamrolled.
Very quickly, we've got about 15 seconds left here. For now, though, it looks like investors believe the European Union is stronger than it was yesterday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Macron is very much pro-EU, and he's gonna look towards a stronger European cooperation, not a weaker one.
Klaus Vestesen is Chief Eurozone Economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics. He's joined us on our phone line sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. S&P futures this morning up by 27 points. That is 1.1%. Dow futures higher by 200 points. NASDAQ futures up by 59 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.2999%. The 2-year yield at 1.2417. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Withum Smith & Brown, audit, tax, and advisory services, helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The euro is up. It is higher against the dollar, up 1.4% this morning after far-right candidate Marine Le Pen and independent Emmanuel Macron advanced to the second round of France's presidential elections. We'll bring you all the latest news and market reaction throughout the day right here on Bloomberg Radio.
China's Shanghai Composite closed down almost 1.4% today, its biggest one-day loss since December. Amid concern, authorities will step up measures to rein in leverage. The country's banking and securities watchdogs say they will strengthen crackdowns on the financial sector, while a publication of the central bank called for more deleveraging measures.
Here in the U.S., some Wells Fargo board members are in danger of being voted out by shareholders at the company's annual meeting tomorrow. That's based on ballots counted so far, according to a person with knowledge of the matter.
It promises to be a busy week on Wall Street, with nearly 200 companies in the S&P 500 scheduled to report earnings results. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
S&P 500 profits are forecast to increase 9.7% in the first quarter. Richard Turnell is Global Chief Investment Strategist at BlackRock International.
You need to focus on what's ultimately going to drive markets, and that's about growth, it's about earnings. We think we're in a sustained recovery, a recovery which is broadening over time.
Among the companies scheduled to report earnings this week, Alphabet, the parent of Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Boeing, Twitter, Intel, and AT&T. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. According to people familiar with the matter, Sprint is exploring new options for a deal. A merger with T-Mobile is still on the table, but Sprint executives are also said to be weighing deals with Comcast and Charter Communications. The wireless carrier is also considering spinning off some of its wireless spectrum into a separate publicly traded company.
Luxury shoemaker Jimmy Choo has put itself up for sale. The company says it will conduct a review of its strategic options to maximize value for shareholders and is seeking offers. Sources say controlling shareholder JAB Luxury views its stake as a fringe asset and no longer has a desire to stay in luxury.
And futures are higher, with S&P futures up 26 points, Dow futures up 196, and NASDAQ futures up 57. The DAX in Germany is up 2.8%. The CAC in Paris is up 4.2% and the FTSE 100 up 1.8%. 10-year Treasury down 15/32, the yield 2.30%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 47 cents to $50.09 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The French election recap and more now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. France is bracing for a runoff between far-right candidate Marine Le Pen versus centrist Emmanuel Macron in the French presidential election. Macron had 23.8% in yesterday's election compared to Le Pen at 21.5%. Last night, Le Pen, who campaigned for France to leave the EU and tighten the French border, spoke through an interpreter.
We should aim for the real alternance, a fundamental alternance, which is going to put in place a new type of politics, new faces, and a real renewal.
Macron also spoke through an interpreter.
The struggle to be able to be the leader of our country starts tonight, and we will win that struggle. Long live the Republic, and long live France.
The runoff is May 7th. South Korea and its allies are bracing for the possibility that North Korea may carry out its sixth nuclear test or its maiden test launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile around the founding anniversary of its military tomorrow. President Donald Trump spoke by phone with both the Japanese and Chinese leaders, and recent U.S. satellite images indicate increased activity around North Korea's nuclear test site. The clock is ticking toward President Trump's 100th day in office, a day he hopes won't include a government shutdown. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more on this latest potential fiscal cliff.
Both Congress and the White House say it's in no one's interest to let government funding lapse past Friday, but Budget Director Mick Mulvaney tells Bloomberg Television the border wall is crucial to the discussion.
I know it doesn't surprise anyone that the actual physical southern wall is a priority, a top priority for this president.
Mulvaney says the White House would match wall funding with Obamacare cost-sharing reduction payments Democrats want. He says there'll probably be a 1 to 2 week stopgap to avert that shutdown. Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
Two Arkansas inmates who say they're in poor health after decades on death row argue that their medical conditions could lead to extreme pain during lethal injections. Jack Jones and Marcel Williams are set to die tonight in what would be the U.S.'s first double execution in more than 16 years. Arkansas is trying to execute several inmates this month before one of its lethal injection drugs expires. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged to you. And now 5:35. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The Mets are a mess right now. They've dropped 6 of the last 7, all within the division. Last night, Washington finished the weekend sweep, winning 6-3. Ex-Met Daniel Murphy with a first-inning grand slam off Zach Wheeler, who settled down from there, but the damage was done. Mets did get home runs from Michael Conforto, Neil Walker, not enough. Terry Collins' team now in fourth place. He thinks the big problem, injury.
The concern is to get healthy, because once we get healthy and we get our lineup back in there, I think things will turn around. So, we've got to get Jarice going. We've got to get him to where, you know, he can get back into the spot to where he belongs. So we've got some things we got to get better and get well at here in the next few games.
They've been without Yoenis Cespedes and Lucas Duda. Collins referred to Dries Familia, who has struggled since returning from his suspension. Mets off tonight, so are the Yankees. Just as the Mets were done in by Murphy, a former teammate, Ivan Nova, a Yankee for 6 years, beat Yank rookie Jordan Montgomery in Pittsburgh. The Pirates won 2-1 to win the series. Yanks start a series in Boston tomorrow. Struggling Giants lost 8-0 at Colorado. First round of the Stanley Cup playoffs over. There were 17 overtime games, but there won't be any game sevens. Ottawa finished off Boston 3-2. Every game decided by one goal. The Senators are next for the Rangers. Game one Thursday in Ottawa. Last night, Washington won 2-1 in Toronto, the fifth overtime game of the series. Caps now face Pittsburgh. NBA playoffs, Cleveland finished a sweep of Indiana. Fifth straight year, LeBron James has had a first-round sweep. Boston won at Chicago. Utah beat the Clippers. Houston down to Oklahoma City. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
John, thank you. And we move along to 5:37 on Wall Street now. Time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Morning, Bob. Two of the world's biggest healthcare suppliers plan to combine. Becton Dickinson is buying C.R. Bard for $24 billion. Now, both companies are based in Murray Hill, New Jersey. The merger will create a powerhouse that can offer customers everything from syringes to infection prevention technology. The Brooklyn District Attorney's Office will announce a policy today that calls for equal and fair justice for the borough's foreign-born residents. The New York Times says the policy tailors prosecutions to avoid, when possible, the deportation or detention of immigrants charged with certain misdemeanors or nonviolent crimes. Connecticut lawmakers this week take up Governor Daniel Malloy's proposed two-year, nearly $41 billion budget. The General Assembly's two budget committees will vote on the proposed plans. It's uncertain if they'll include many of the governor's proposals, especially a plan to shift $400 million in teacher pensions to cities and towns. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thank you. And now in the day ahead, we'll get earnings results from 12 companies in the S&P 500. Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari speaks at an investing conference at UCLA. His remarks come at approximately 11:30 this morning, Wall Street time. It's a quiet day on the economic front in the U.S., with the Chicago Fed National Activity Index due out at 8:30 and Dallas Fed Manufacturing Activity at 10:30. As for the rest of the week, consumer confidence will be the first major economic indicator. We'll get that reading at 10 a.m. tomorrow, and Vinny Del Giudice has the story.
The Consumer Confidence Index is based on a survey of about 3,000 households. In March, it registered the strongest reading since December 2000. Underscoring that, the share of survey respondents expecting more jobs will be available over the next 6 months advanced to the highest since 1983. Among the other indicators on this week's economic calendar, the government's initial estimate of first quarter GDP, as well as new home sales, factory orders for durable goods, and the Employment Cost Index. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Let's check in now with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Sears has boosted its annual budget-cutting target by 25%.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on Reebok developing a new 100% biodegradable sneaker.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on the biggest drop in London house prices in 8 years this April, with central London hit the hardest.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. Eli Lilly loses a patent infringement trial on sales of the erectile dysfunction drug Cialis.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting some people think car sales could dip when a $7,500 tax credit is eliminated.
Thank you all, and those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. S&P futures this morning up 26 points, better than 1.1%. And Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Eisner Amper. It's Pivotal, the new tech event from Eisner Amper you won't want to miss. Pivotal, May 9th, Westbury, New York. Learn more at Pivotal at EisnerAmper.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Relief is rippling across markets from stocks to bonds and currencies on bets that pro-growth centrist Emmanuel Macron will become France's next president. Havens including gold, the yen, treasuries, and bonds all falling out of favor. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures are higher, with S&P futures up 25 and a half points, Dow futures up 191, NASDAQ futures up 55. DAX in Germany's up 2.8%, CAC in Paris up 4.25%, and the FTSE 100 up 1.8%. 10-year Treasury down 15 32nds, yield 2.30%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 46 cents to $50.08 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.2% or $15.70 to $12.73.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0867, the yen 110.13. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, North Korea marks the founding anniversary of its military tomorrow. South Korea and its allies believe Pyongyang could conduct another nuclear test or launch an intercontinental ballistic missile for the first time. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has made an unannounced visit to Afghanistan. Mattis is in Kabul as the Trump administration weighs sending in more U.S. troops. For Mattis, Kabul is the final stop on a six-nation week-long tour. In sports and baseball, the Mets lost to the Nationals 6-3. The Yankees lost, along with the Giants. The Red Sox won. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics evened their series at two games apiece after beating the Bulls on Sunday. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins were eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Senators. The Capitals advanced after eliminating the Maple Leafs. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Centrist Emmanuel Macron and far-right nationalist Marine Le Pen have won the first round of the French presidential election. The candidates will now face off in a runoff on May 7th. A Snap poll released late yesterday suggests Macron will defeat Le Pen and that contest will be by more than 20 percentage points. Investors have swung back to risk-taking following the results, with equities surging across the globe. For more on market reaction and where things go from here, Bloomberg's Guy Johnson and Matt Miller speak to Paul Molloy, Vanguard's head of fixed income in Europe.
What you're seeing now is a move back towards the fair value. There's still a non-zero chance of a Le Pen victory, but it's very, very small. And we have to see how Macron goes about forming a coalition and seeing what happens going forward from a French standpoint, that the risks to the Eurozone have subsided. But looking at France itself and the economic policies that Macron is looking to implement could be a little more challenging.
Let's move on to Thursday.
Sure.
ECB.
Yes.
Draghi's been watching clearly the political events very carefully. He's talked about them in the past. Mm-hmm. How does the French election change his trajectory?
I don't think it changes it a ton. When you start to look at inflation, Euro five-year forward, still sticking around 160 core, still anchored towards the bottom of the range. Draghi has no real incentive to move sooner, especially with some of the still pending political risks associated with Brexit. And you still have Italian elections coming up sometime before April, German elections coming up in the fall as well. So I think it's really hard for Draghi to move any quicker, and it's really hard for the markets to remove stimulus as quickly as they tend to think the markets can. U.S. is a good example of that. It took a long time to get off of zero in the U.S.
Paul, from a market perspective or from a long French debt perspective, what's the best case scenario for Macron going forward?
If he gets a coalition with the central parties, so all anybody's been willing to do at this point is support him for the presidential election for the next 2 weeks. They've not gone beyond that and said that they're willing to build a coalition yet. So we have to see if there's any hard feelings. So the best outcome is if he can make the deals that he's been, you know, come to known for. That's, you see that a lot, that he's a deal maker and knows how to work together. And we'll see if that's possible.
Mr. Macron is pro-Brussels. The candidates in the German election, pretty pro-Brussels. Can I start talking about euro bonds now? Can we integrate the eurozone further? Can we fix some of the failures that exist currently? And can we start talking about shared liabilities into the bond space?
I think we can, and I think we already have. Whenever push comes to shove, the eurozone does come together. It's noteworthy that we're not seeing the Greece stuff pop up anymore.
Yeah.
That was on the table, 2 months ago now, roughly? And that's relatively calm. We're not hearing about that.
Yeah.
For now, but that does show to go that there's cooperation. And with the French elections out of the way, hopefully, it's showing a renewed cooperation. And now that they've got a reason to unite as Europe on the Brexit side, I think it only moves things forward.
And that is Paul Molloy, Vanguard's head of fixed income in Europe, speaking to Bloomberg's Guy Johnson and Matt Miller in our London bureau.
And now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best discuss the latest developments in Arkansas's efforts to execute a number of death row inmates after the U.S. Supreme Court allowed the execution of Liddell Lee before life-ending drugs expire at the end of April. They speak with Robert Dunham, executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center.
Robert, let's start with what the Supreme Court did last night. What did they rule that allowed this execution to proceed?
Well, they didn't rule on anything of substance, but what they said was that the executions could go forward. They declined to review the prisoner's challenge to Arkansas's lethal injection protocol, which is the three-drug challenge. They declined to review their challenge to the clemency process, and they declined to review the challenge to the execution schedule, all the executions in a very short period of time. They will still be conferencing a motion that was filed by all of the prisoners challenging the entire execution process. So we'll have to see what the court rules on that. What they essentially did was they refused to intervene, and they allowed the execution to go forward. And and that was the 5-4 vote.
And it was along party lines. Tell us what Justice Breyer said.
The bottom line was he thought that the execution schedule was based on the expiration date of the drug midazolam. And he said, I've long been concerned about the arbitrariness of capital punishment. It doesn't seem to be much more arbitrary than this. If you are basing when someone gets executed on when an execution drug expires.
Well, Robert, he was joined, I think, by the three other more liberal justices in sort of dissenting. Doesn't that mean that there are going to be four votes to review something here from Arkansas?
Well, it's hard to say. You would think that there are four justices who are interested in that. But when you look closely at the stays, there are four who would vote to grant a stay. On some of the other issues, there were three and not four. But when you look at it, several of the justices said that they would grant a stay in order to grant review, and two of them just said that they would grant a stay. So we don't know for certain that they would have said, let's hear the case.
That's Robert Dunham, Executive Director for the Death Penalty Information Center, speaking with Bloomberg Law host Jim Grasso and Michael Best. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, more problems are surfacing for Fox News. Seven black employees plan to join a racial discrimination suit filed last month by two colleagues. That's according to New York Magazine. The original lawsuit claimed that the network's longtime comptroller subjected members of Fox's payroll staff to racial insults for years. She was fired in February.
Here's a report that Israel will not extradite a bombing hoax suspect to the United States. Israel's Channel 2 says the government has rejected a U.S. Justice Department request. The Israeli-American teenager is accused of making threatening phone calls to a number of Jewish institutions in the U.S.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 26 points. Dow futures up 196. NASDAQ futures up 56. The DAX in Germany up 2.9%. CAC in Paris up 4.3%. The FTSE 100 up 1.8%. 10-year Treasury down 15 32nds. The yield 2.30%. Yield on the 2-year 1.24%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1%, while COMEX gold is down 1.2%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
Safety net providers want the HHS to implement a rule that imposes penalties on drug makers for overcharging for their products in a federal discount program. Drug makers want the rule delayed. President Trump has ordered a review of two key Dodd-Frank provisions that are meant to resolve failing big banks and designate systematically important financial institutions. And the heirs of comedy duo Abbott and Costello want the Supreme Court to rule that they still own rights to the Who's On First comedy routine. A federal appeals court ruled the routine entered the public domain in 1968.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.